No, I don't. I'm not retired. Good morning, my friend.
The sweet aroma of Hampton.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Good morning, Donna. How are you this morning?
Good, thank you. How's everybody? All safe?
Yeah.
Good.
And how about your family?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay,
well,
thank you.
That's important.
Yes, much so, yep.
Yep.
All right, Dinah and Jay are here.
Okay. Is this going to be a quiet meeting or what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Depends.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Mike.
Are you muting me, or should I? I can't.
I don't mute unless there's an issue, because I'd rather people to hear everything and be on the up and up. So I know at the end Jay had made it a stipulation that you're given the opportunity to talk.
Right.
So.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mike.
Happy Easter, everybody. So if I get off early.
Thanks,
Mike. Same to yourself.
Hi, Donna. It's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Hi, Kathy.
Doing well this morning. Hi. Is that Jay?
Yep.
Dinah's here, too.
Hello.
Dinah's on the call.
No, I'm not in the office. I'm in the office, risking my life.
Life and limb.
All right. What am I doing with my phone? Okay,
who
just came in with the last 4 digits of 4622, please?
Hello?
Who just came in the call with the last 4 digits of 4622, please? Can everybody else hear me?
Yep, yep. I can hear you.
Okay, who just came into the call with the last 4 digits of your phone number, 4622?
Hi, Kelly. We're socially
distanced.
Okay.
We're doing it. A lot of good it will do us in the end. Jay's got to look better.
Yeah, he won't make me one.
Is that you, though? Yeah. What's the
full number? 603. Yeah.
I don't want to say it over the...
We're going to give it a couple more minutes for people to sign on. I hope everybody out there is staying safe and everybody is healthy. Okay, why don't we get started? It's approximately 3 minutes past 9 o'clock.
What's jumping? Is that?
Wait, heard a beep. Did you get a new caller?
No.
Okay. All right. Do I have an approval of the agenda?
You going to call the
make
meeting
a motion
to order?
That we approve. Make a motion to approve the agenda.
Call the meeting to order.
I'm sorry, calling the meeting to order at 9:03. And do I have an approval of the agenda? I'll make that motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay.
Well, I asked for the motion regarding the water tank to come in the beginning because I don't want it to get missed and it's too important. So we can either do it first or move the agenda to make it first.
Are you making a motion to do that?
Do we need to, or can we just do it first without the formality of making the motion?
Well, we got Kelly here. I don't want to waste his time.
It's going to take 15 seconds. I mean, it was written out explicitly by the lawyer. He gave us the exact wording, so there's no question about it.
I have questions. I'd rather get Kelly squared away first. All right. We have Kelly Robitel in the room, our DPW foreman. Kelly, the floor is yours.
All right. I hit a brick wall with finding a truck. No one has a truck. The trucks I have specced out have all been sold, and at this point, they're not making any new ones. Factories are shut down. I have calls out all over the state, all over the tri-state, and I'm not even getting calls back from the salesman, which is really clear. But I'm still searching, and when I locate one, I'll give that information. But right now, nothing available. Ford or Dodge, either one, there's nothing. So I'm working on that. I wanted to give everyone a heads up that the DPW is trying to follow a protocol to keep us safe. I'm going with the Department of Labor and the DOT specifications on how to manage this. We're not driving two per truck. No one's driving together anymore. We are keeping spacing as much as we can. We're going to avoid jobs where we have to be too close. And the tools and everything in the shop downstairs that we all jointly use, we're trying to monitor a way of keeping them the same way. Now downstairs, since the tight tank installation is kind of ramshackled, so as we put things back, we're going to try to do the best we can to keep us all working. Some jobs are very difficult to do this way, but I'd like people to be patient. If we're not getting everything done as quickly as possible, we're still working and we're doing the best we can. I guess we get right into. Yeah, we'll get right into the hot topic, and that's the 47 Idlewise. I was in contact with the paving company that was contracted to do the job for 47. He sent me an estimate, and this is where the confusion is. He was contracted to do the complete job, which included buying the culverts, buying the basin, doing the install, and the homeowner told him that the district would pay for the labor. It was never specified by anyone, and I'm reading the letter that was sent to the homeowner. The letter said that the district will pay for the labor portion of this project. It was never stipulated that the DPW was the labor. So this person was contracted to do the complete job and bill the district for the labor. That bill comes out to $3,800. So we're back to square one with dealing with homeowners. Unfortunately, the letter was misleading. It was said that the district will pay for the labor. So I understand their confusion. Unfortunately, the contractor went through a lot of trouble doing the estimate. I told him no. I said we won't be moving forward in this direction. I am hoping you've all got my little drawing of what the job is going to be, which includes 49. and I know we're still waiting for a response from 49, but 47 needs to be contacted also to hopefully explain how this is supposed to go.
Yeah, my comment is that if 47 is going to be repaving their driveway, they need to submit a driveway application form to do so. We have not yet received that. We should probably, in good spirit, reach out to 47 and tell them that they need to submit the driveway permit application, and that we are going to be working and have been, or trying to, with number 49, which contributes to the problem. And that the solution is really a solution for both 49 and 47 to mitigate that erosion in front of their driveway.
I think the battle is going to be convincing 49, who doesn't have a problem, that they need to spend money on something that isn't their problem. And it doesn't affect them. It affects 47. So if it were me and I was being told I have to pay for a new culvert, I think you probably know what my answer would be. So that's a fight you're going to have to fight to get this job done properly. And if they refuse to pay for a new culvert, what action will we take at that point?
Yeah, so I think we'll have to wait for the response to come back from the certified letter sent to 49.
Which went out.
Yep, yes, the letter did go out. I saw Donna take that to the post office. And once we get that response, we'll be able to then start to negotiate with both parties to make sure that the drainage is done correctly.
Yeah, I just went through my notes. I don't see the letter that went out to 47. So can I get a copy of that letter? I don't have it.
Okay. I know Kelly has it in front of him.
I also haven't seen the drawing.
The last sentence of the letter says the district will pay for labor portion of this project.
What was the date of the letter, Kelly?
November 14th.
November the 14th.
I got one.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's right here.
Oh, okay.
November the 14th.
Yep.
Yeah, I would love to see a copy of that letter, and I'd love to see the drawing. I haven't seen either of them.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I saw the drawing either. So.
Okay, I apologize if I. That was just came in yesterday, and yesterday there was a lot trying to get through everything, get through all the emails and everything. That.
No problem.
Okay.
I got a heads up from the paving company who I deal with. So he contacted me personally. So 47 is probably going to get notified that the project is on hold. Paving company wanted to do it in the next 3 weeks. So
so we sent 47 a letter saying we would cover the labor. So they viewed that as not we were going to do the labor, we were going to pay for the labor. So then they ended up taking that information and hiring a contractor to do the job who then was going to turn around and send us a bill for this?
Yes.
Correct.
Not for the entire project, but for installing the culvert?
Yes. Culvert, catch basin. Yeah.
But wasn't
it broken
without,
down.
But without having seen the drawing or seeing what the contractor was given, it's really hard to make to understand it, because I don't even know if there's if part of that's going to impact 49. So how does 49 factor in? Is that a culvert on 49's property as well? Is that a catch basin on 49's property as well? Like, I don't know because I've never seen the picture.
Okay, we'll send you the picture, and it's not going to get resolved today because we need a driveway permit from 47, and we need feedback from 49 based on that certified letter. So can we move on?
What's the deadline for 49 to respond on the certified letter?
Well, the certified letter is 30 days.
30 days.
Okay, so we should probably tell 47 that we're also waiting to hear from an abutter, because that abutter is going to potentially delay the project, right?
Possible, yep. I don't know when their schedule is.
Right, but we need to be forthcoming with 47 so that they know that there's a 30-day wait already, no matter what, no matter how quickly they get this driveway back.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we just need to tell them that.
Yeah, and the other piece that I mentioned earlier is we need to have 47 submit a driveway permit application. So we can you put that together in a letter, Donna?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if they were prepared to send the application, it's probably maybe even on the way, but the phone call came before that, and that's when I asked the contractor to send me the information, his information, which was the estimate in the letter that he was going by.
And also, I think the letter should also state and to clarify that any labor that would be responsibility of the district would be performed by DPW.
Okay.
Yep.
Include that in there.
All right.
So it's in writing because, yes, Kelly told the paving contractor who then told the homeowner, but we should have it in that letter that just to clarify that the portion of labor that we would contribute would be with our own DPW, not in a cash reimbursement.
Okay. You got that, all that, Donna?
Yep.
Great.
We never decided the extent of their responsibility. Are they just paying for the culverts and we're paying for the basin, or are they responsible for the basin also? The basin is $610. The culvert is $250 because it'd be two culverts.
The basin is not really their thing. I mean, it's between the two properties, no? I mean, if anything,
yeah,
we'd be asking them.
I always said the basin's our responsibility, but they should know the full extent of their responsibility, so they should
agree
with that they're paying for the culverts.
Okay, yeah, I think that's a reasonable. I mean, if that's how we've always done it, and it seems to make sense, it's in line with what I just said, unless somebody else has a differing opinion from both me and Kelly, like, yeah, we should move in that direction.
Okay.
We've never done a basin since I've been here for a homeowner for a project like this. That's why it's different. We've done culverts, but never a catch basin.
Yeah, it's a really unique situation because the section of earth between the two driveways is only a few feet.
Right.
That's my recommendation, guys.
Yeah, realistically, the driveway never should have been approved like this.
Okay. Okay, so Donna has this letter going out to the homeowner at number 47, and we're waiting for a reply on 49 to the certified letter. Once we get all
Donna
that in,
we can send it. Does that mean Donna's going to draft this letter and send it without board approval?
No,
we'll go to the board first.
Okay. What I also recommend is maybe have Kelly read it first just to make sure he's seen what we're writing to the homeowner so he'll be aware of that many conversations with the paving contractor.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Well, maybe we should let Kelly approve the letter solely so that way it can be done in a timely manner and these people don't wait another 7 days for correspondence.
No,
they think they're getting
no.
the driveway done any minute now. We should be proactively talking.
Yeah, we're still going to be waiting 30 days on them. There's no rush.
But they don't know that.
Right.
I'm not going to approve it on my own.
Yeah, the decision is made by the Board of Commissioners. I don't think we should put Kelly on the hook.
The letter is being drafted by Donna. We should have Donna email them saying they're going to get an official correspondence via email after the next Board of Commissioners meeting. And to hold off until they receive that letter.
No, because we don't know if we're going to get a response from 49.
But they're not going to get anything in the next 7 days. And they need to be told that nothing's going to happen in the next 7 days. So, like, don't hire anybody, don't anything. Just wait for a week to get the official letter that the board approves.
If they hire anybody to do work without a permit, they're doing it illegally.
Right. Do they even know that the permit's needed?
Yes, they do. The paving company knows that.
Does the homeowner know that?
The paving company won't start unless the homeowner has solidified that they've sent the permit in and got an approval.
No one's doing nothing until they talk to me. They already know that.
Okay, as long as they know that, then we're good. Okay.
Okay. Kelly, keep going.
All right. Rhinac Tank, the DPW went up and dealt with the flooding issue. We trenched around the tank to relieve any water that was settling in front of the building, and we temporarily ran a line across the road to pump the water that was recirculating through the building. It took 4 days, but finally it seems like the pump has stopped operating at least as much as it was, and I think we got ahead of it. We'll see what happens with the next rain, but the line running across the road is not stopping anybody. It can be driven on, and costs nothing. So it's done.
Thank you. Good, great idea.
Pipe tank.
What?
She said thank you, Kelly.
The pipe tank has been installed. It is complete. The wiring was finished yesterday for the alarms. There will be an add-on to the bill. I spoke with the contractor, and because of how everything transpired, he is going to waive the labor portion of the bill, which is a day and a half for three people, which is substantial. He is only going to do an add-on for the rental of the mini excavator with the jackhammer, which was needed to get through the thicker concrete than was figured. Along with that, the electrical, the original engineered drawing showed the electrical spanning the entire length of the building to get the electrical panel.
Just put a coke in there.
The electrical line was shown close to where the box was installed, so we saved a lot of money not having to run it across the building. So we got some substantial savings. I'm looking at under $1,000 for the add-on. We won't know for sure until they know what the excavator costs for rental. Brooks worked well with us on this. I'd like that noted. They went above what they really needed to do to get this job done, and they were a pleasure to work with. So
I took a look at I took a look in the garage, and it looks great. They did a great job finishing that floor.
You didn't touch anything, right?
No, I didn't touch anything. I'm still quarantined.
I hope so, because your quarantine and my quarantine are two different things, I think.
No, but I had
a
phone call, and I took the keypad, so I didn't touch a thing.
They got to come back and just do a little buffing to the pavement after it dries a little bit, but there'll be a final bill in the mail. So that... The second side of that is we still don't have water. The line's been run. It's underground. It's into the building. Now it just needs to be extended across the building and rehooked into the water system. So it's been 1 week, and we're without water still. Thanks to Jay for supplying us with some water, but it's been tough. But I think the rest is up to Ian to finish.
Does he have a date he's
going to
do it?
It was an email he sent yesterday in regards to completing that work, as well as the swing tie information as to where the water line is and where the curb stop is, so that it now goes into our asset management book. And I believe he's coming back. Is it today?
I don't know.
I think it was yesterday. He was supposed to. Did you see him here yesterday?
I didn't see him. He didn't come in here at all.
All right. So I think everybody saw that email from Ian responding to my questions. There were a couple of questions I had. One, shutting off the bleeder valve. He still thinks it's a little too early. And then the other one was about the getting water into the DPW building. And he's going to do swing ties for that water line installation. And he's also going to connect the water line, which is already inside the building, to our water system in the bathroom. And today or tomorrow. Yeah, he's saying he'll be pulling new curb ties today or tomorrow. At the same time, the new feed will be run inside the DPW. So that looks like it's either today, yesterday or today. So we should expect to see Ian today.
I think it was great you commended Kelly and Jeff for not having water. I just want to mention Donna hasn't had water for a week either. So she should be on that kudos list.
Now, Donna looks a little dehydrated.
What's more than that?
So I have a question about the money. I signed a check for $9,000 for Brooks last pay period. The warrant article was for
$17,000. 17. 17. 17
and change.
153?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just sent the final bill. They just sent the final bill, I think yesterday or the day before.
Without the add-ons.
Yeah.
Right, but the first check was the deposit.
There was a $5,000 check to start the project. $9,000 was signed yesterday by you and went in the mail. And then...
The remainder will be the final bill.
Okay, and then we'll have to pay Ian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have to get
that part of the warrant.
Yeah. Oh, no. The water hook? The water break? No, it's not part of the warrant.
Who broke it?
It was broken during the excavation for the tank, so we consider that a water main break.
Yeah, and we appropriated funds for that through a capital reserve fund last week.
What?
We appropriated funding that.
Yeah.
Through capital reserve fund last week.
Okay. I didn't know that. Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome.
Any other questions, Donna?
No.
Okay. Okay, Kelly, you got more.
Yeah. I made a decision with my wife that we are going to opt out of the family plan. We can't afford it. My pay adjustment come up short to cover it, as you know. I'm still on the hook for quite a bit of money. My wife's out of work. I can't afford it, so I contacted the HR department, which is Donna, contacted the insurance company with that question, and they said that they can most certainly opt me back to a two-person policy. I just need to come up with – they need proof that I'm going to insure somewhere else. I can get – by the end of the month, I'm going to find some other insurance that's more affordable, so – it's going to be catastrophic insurance. It's not going to be great coverage, but to let you know, I will be opting out of the family plan. I just can't afford it. So by
Kelly, did
April,
you
go, but I'm sorry.
Were you going to go, did Kelly say he was going to go back to the two-person plan or not at all?
Two-person plan.
Okay, you are going to go to the two-person plan. Okay.
Yeah.
What about you were talking about some other insurance? Is that for the rest of the members of your family, or?
That's for my son. I'll find, they have what's called catastrophic insurance,
yeah,
which is bare bones, dirt insurance, but
yeah,
it only covers for catastrophic events.
Okay.
So,
even close to ideal.
So if we, Kelly, if this is the choice you're making, is it effective the end of April or effective the end of March?
End of April.
Okay, so we need to make sure that we know we're going to end up being billed January, February, March, and April. Kelly, are you saying that you're going to pay those 4 months over a 12-month period?
Well, he's paid March and April.
Yeah.
Okay, I believe
he's already paid up.
I've already been paying.
You've been paying, but I thought the whole thing we did was because he didn't pay in January and February, and we didn't want to whack him with a two-month bill in one shot, that we were going to allocate it over a 12-month period. So he was going to end up paying 10 months over a 12-month period, or 12 months over a 10-month period. I thought that's what we were going to do. So we need to make sure that we are made whole on the time in which he had the family plan.
I don't think we were able to actually do that. Donna would know.
Kathy, you were going to work with me on that.
Yeah.
And we never worked on it, so nothing's been done. But that was something that you were going to work on that with me.
Yeah.
So Kelly had to basically cut the big check.
Yeah, once Donna and I can sit down and figure it out, I think that January and February, the district paid the full premium. But in March and then April, which is right now, it'll come from Kelly. So it's really only going to be the 2 months, and then we can flatten that out over the remainder of the year.
That's what we talked about.
Okay.
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 I'm just bringing
and
up to make sure it doesn't
paid.
Get missed.
I've been
yep.
paying out of my check.
You paid
yes.
for 2 months, but you'll have
yes.
two more months to make.
Adam, we know. We know. We're going to just
okay.
take the 2 months, divide it by however many pay periods are left. If we get to this in May, if Donna and I can sit together in May and go through it, then we'll just flatten it out over the number of pay periods through the end of the year.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, thank
don't
you,
worry, Kelly. That's fine. That's all I got.
Well, do you want to talk about pond levels?
Does somebody want to talk about pond levels? I don't know if they're coming to cuff me and take me away because I did something criminal. That's the email I was forwarded that it was illegal for me to change the pond levels.
We gotta be really careful when we change pond levels. The DES, I don't know if it was DES or Fishing Game, I think it was DES, says that we're not allowed to change the pond levels by 10 inches at a given time unless there's an emergency. So we need to be really careful. And I don't know that that constituted an emergency the other day, and I don't know that it constituted an emergency putting it back in yesterday. So we just need to be really cognizant of...
Wait a minute. So
again, this whole thing is, as we say downstairs, screwy Louie. I never put a board back in. Who said I put a board back in?
Oh, I saw people on the dam yesterday. I thought you did.
So
I'm sorry.
I put a board back in and told people I put a board back in?
I didn't tell anybody anything. I didn't have a single conversation with anybody. No, I didn't.
What did you just say? You just said yesterday.
Okay, I made a mistake that you corrected. I thought you did. You guys were both on the dam. Like, no harm. So
you gotta understand that we're not measuring pond levels by board height. We're measuring pond levels by pond levels, whatever the level of the water is. Right now, the water is still cresting the concrete spillway. So the pond level hasn't changed much except for 2 inches maybe. So
yep.
even
and
taking a 10-inch board did not affect the pond level because the spillway is what handles the water. No one seems I don't say nobody, but someone's not getting the whole idea that you can't adjust a 5-acre pond by moving a 4-inch board.
Okay.
I've been doing this for 6 years. I know this. I've been doing it.
Kelly,
I took out a 10-inch board, but I put nothing back, and the pond level still hasn't moved much.
Kelly, we get that. I mean, look, we dealt with this back in December when everyone screamed that I broke the law and this and that, and we know that when there was 10 inches of boards removed over a 4-day period, the water was still above the dam. Like, we get all that. All I'm saying is that I believe it was DES's requirement prohibits the removal of more than, I think it's 4 or 6 inches of whatever holds back the dam. That's the law. That's not Adam coming up with something. We have it. We have a copy of it there. It was supposed to be attached to the dam management policy so that the information from DES would be always with it, and if the dam management policy ever changed again or was evaluated again or there was a public hearing again, everybody would have both documents. Part of the problem we had was when we created it, the Environmental Committee and the Board of Commissioners didn't even have that document. So that was why they got to be together.
Question. So I think that in between what you're saying and Kelly saying is DES isn't concerned about the boards. They're concerned about the ultimate effect on the pond level. So they said we cannot lower the pond level significantly. So whether that means a 2-inch board or a 20-inch board, that's irrelevant. So you're right. We have to be careful about not changing the level significantly. But as Kelly said, just because a board came out, nothing happened. And even if that board got left out for 2 weeks, it probably would not have changed the level of the pond to be considered significant.
Think of it this way, folks.
This has been done over 30 years, and they're inventing all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, thank you, Ralph. I'm just going to give a scenario so everyone can understand the picture, in that if you had a round swimming pool in your backyard, and we're all familiar with those 4-foot round swimming pools, and you were putting water into the swimming pool with a 2.5-inch fire hose, and at the bottom of the pool, you had a garden hose letting the water out, it's obvious that the pool at some point is going to overflow. So the size of the hose that lets the water out has to be in conjunction with the amount of water coming in. And it has nothing to do with pulling a 10-inch board. I think what DES is referring to is 10 inches of water height significantly reduced all at one time and very quickly.
All right, so I'm reading it right now here. I'll give you the exact words, and you guys can interpret this how you see fit. Number two on the document says, quote, "We recommend lowering the impoundment." I don't know if that's the pond or the dam. We recommend lowering the impound. Okay, the impound by no more than 6 inches per day. So then that interpretation is fine. Thank you for clarifying.
Great. Okay. So we all set on the dam?
Can I just
go ahead, Kelly?
I'm looking at the same thing, and this is all pertains to a drawdown, a deep water drawdown. Not a yearly event where we adjust the boards by no more than a foot to 2 feet. This is a 5-foot drawdown there, and I'm reading the same thing. And it says
Adam is nuts.
It recommends that a deep,
we're going to have to put you on mute, okay?
Deeper than normal drawdown not occur more than every 5 years. This is not a deep water drawdown. This got way out of control, which we're adjusting. If I can't do it, commissioners take it over, because I'm not going to be accused of breaking the law. That's just not right.
Okay. So moving on to another subject in conjunction with the pond level, I want to talk about, Adam, you had sent an email in about lowering the pond 10 inches below the top of the concrete for the loon nesting. Do we want to have that conversation now, because the loons are back?
No.
No.
They are
back. Sorry. Somebody join? Did somebody join?
No.
Okay. Adam, do you want to talk about the pond level? Adam?
Was he off?
Nope. I think somebody dropped, but.
Yeah, Paula dropped.
Oh. Okay, Adam, you still there?
Did you meet the wrong person?
No, I'm moving around. Mike, are you there still?
Mike Smith, you there? Okay.
Yeah.
Mike, I think you have the closest observation of the loons. Can you tell us what your correspondence has been with, I saw an email from you a couple of weeks ago with the LPC. Are they still alive?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And are they going to set up a camera at your house again?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
So, John Cooley called me about, I would say, 4 or 5 weeks ago. Might have been 3 weeks. I don't know. I didn't even write it down. It wasn't that important. And asked me if he could use my facilities again like he normally does, and I told him, yeah. He also said that last conversation that the Board of Commissioners, were going to have John Cooley connect with the fire department chief. So make sure that there was a working relationship between lowering the water levels for the loons and the fire department, and John worked that out with them. So that's after John worked that out with them, John then called me, asked me if he could use my facilities. I told him yeah, and he does not want to use a floating nest. He still wants to go all natural like they have been going for the last 25, 30 years. So I told John no problems at all, and that's where we stand.
Okay. And go ahead, Kathy.
Well, Jay, doesn't that kind of contradict the email we just got from the fire chief saying his recommendation is to not lower the water more than 4 inches below the concrete?
Yeah, and I went back to when he was last visiting us on January 9th, and I went through those minutes. And it states basically the same thing, in that his concern was to not lower the water level at the dam no more than 4 inches below the top of the spillway. And I'm reading his letter now, and it's saying the same thing. The dam should be kept as close as possible to the 4-inch level below the top of the dam spillway. That should satisfy all parties involved. So,
okay.
That's his comment, and I think we decided, and I forget when that public hearing was, I think it was January 25th, we talked about the management policy opposite it, and we said that fire suppression would be the primary emphasis of controlling the dam water level. And I guess my question is, we'll try to, Kelly right now is trying to get it down to 4 inches, and then Mike, you're the guy with the window to the loon area. I'd ask that you report back to us if you can to see the activity of the loons. Are they able to build on top of their nests that were there last year, or are they building new nests on higher ground somewhere?
They don't build them. They normally don't build in the same place every year.
Oh, okay.
They move from one pod to the other.
Well, let me just clarify. We got a couple of issues here, right? First of all, I mean, Paula, I think, brought this up the other in a meeting a few weeks ago of that we were going to see about the LPC's answer to a floating nest, which is why we talked about last week reaching out to John Cooley to see what their status was on potentially putting in a floating nest. I don't believe an email ever went out to John Cooley. And that's
Adam,
first of all.
Adam, did you, well, Mike Smith, I don't know if you were offline or muted, but he said that John Cooley responded back to Mike and they do not want to do that.
I heard that, which brings up it brings up my second concern is we've got a resident talking to a state agent about potentially what the district is going to do. This correspondence has to come through the office. We had this conversation 11 months ago in a meeting. It's got to come through the office. So when it comes to a camera, the camera is a Mike Smith issue because the camera is being put on his property, and we can't be involved in that. But when it comes to the other stuff, we need to be involved in this and not get a report from a third party. We need to be involved at the level of us talking to the agency.
Can I say something here, please?
Go ahead, Mike.
Adam, the problem is you get involved and you screw things up. I'm going to tell you point blank.
Okay,
let me finish, please.
Okay. Please.
John Cooley, I'm not lying about a camera. They've been doing this for years. I'm not making any of this up. Adam, you're just making something because you don't want it to happen because it's Mike Smith that's part of it. That's what it comes down to. The camera is put on one of my floats at the end, and they use my electricity. They've been using it for 8 years, I think, now. The LPC has monitored the loons for my house probably 25 years. So you're making something that doesn't have to be a big problem into a problem. Because you don't like to hear what the answer is.
It
comes down to.
Mike, thank you for all the years that you've been helping the LPC. And there's nothing that the commissioners can do with the relationship that Mike has with an association or a volunteer society like the LPC. And I do thank you, Mike, for sending the information that you did send most recently to the office. I would encourage you to continue doing the same in your communications with the LPC. But to Adam's point, I think the office needs to send an email to John Cooley at the LPC, or at least requesting that floating nest for the loons. And I'll make that motion that we get that email out to John this week, requesting.
Oh, it'll be this week.
I'm sorry.
Jay, I'm pretty sure this was done last week. We talked about reaching out to John Cooley to find out what our options were because we weren't sure because the LPC was closed or not. So
right.
we've already had this discussion.
Adam, I think we should include the fire chief's recommendation because it sounds like there may be some miscommunication between the conversation on Cooley with Mike and with the fire chief. So
I agree, Kathy.
I know.
Doesn't add up.
Mike, I just want you to know, I don't think anybody's disagreeing with or undermining your relationship with LPC as it comes to the camera. So that was never the intent, if that was what you assumed. It was really more about relaying the conversations between the LPC and the fire chief. That's what needs to come through the office. So I don't think anybody was trying to minimize your relationship or the time you spent with the cameras on the Loon Nest. So I just want to make that clear.
Okay. All right. So
we've got a situation too, remember, folks, that last year we had a number of people literally yelling at us in a meeting that we need to keep the pond levels high and to heck with the loons. So that's part of why we need this official correspondence, too. So if the LPC has an opinion or the fire chief has an opinion, we need to get these opinions in writing so that when other people come to us and say, why aren't you doing this or why aren't you doing that or why are you doing this and why are you doing that, we can say, here it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that is true.
All right. So Don is going to get that email out to John Cooley, copying the response from the fire chief, just to make sure we're all on the same page this year. Okay?
Exactly. That's
great.
Absolutely essential.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Kelly. Are you sure?
Bring it on.
Garage doors.
Yeah.
We talked about this last week as well. I want to ask you, you're the one who uses them. And we don't have, that's almost a $6,700 item. And we don't have in the budget, we tried to adjust the budget to cover that, but we didn't get people from the voters. So my question to you is, my question to you, Kelly, is can we live with those doors until around the November time frame when we will know exactly how much money we have in the budget, and if there is money available, we can go ahead and have those doors replaced?
Absolutely. I said before, that was a wintertime emergency. If we couldn't get a truck out during a storm, we were in big trouble. But this time of year, we can't get a truck out. It's an inconvenience. It's not a big deal. I said that we don't know if it's in the budget yet. We got to see where the budget is. We may say somewhere else. Something will have to be done to the doors eventually, but we're fine.
Well,
and that was a waste of time emergency item.
So
I have no problem waiting right now.
Okay. All right, Kathy, I think you were trying to say something.
Yes, please. So we did increase the buildings and grounds line item to $15,000. So we have, and we've only spent $1,400 so far. And I appreciate Kelly's awareness of the budget. But if it has to get done this year, because it also, I think, creates a safety issue more than anything else. I think the electronic eyes on the doors is something that the Department of Labor wants to see done before their next inspection. And if those doors are creating a safety issue, as they have with those cables breaking, I would rather do it sooner than later. My concern last week was the cost of the extras on the tight tank, which I think that, with Brooks being so accommodating, we don't have a massive overage on that project. If it's under $1,000, we can absorb that. I just think the garage doors are a much bigger issue from a safety standpoint, and I would rather see it done sooner rather than later.
I guess I didn't know, according to the budget, is that the proposed budget for last year, or is that the new budget you came up with? I haven't seen the new one. I didn't think we increased any. I thought we were given a pretty flat budget to work with, but I was trying to stay within the flat budget, not a proposed budget that was not possible.
Right, because
again, I'm confused,
but we really, And again, without having access to get into the office with Donna, I did send an amended budget because we now realize that some of the Reinhardt tank money is still available, so we didn't have to take it out of the budget, so we were able to add some funding back into the budget. And I think, Jay, you've got the latest copy of the amended
budget.
When did that come out?
We did those numbers after the annual meeting.
Okay.
We moved because we had $60,000 taken away from the budget, so we had to realign some numbers. But I think the $15,000 was actually in there prior to the annual meeting. That's what we've shown to the voters.
Okay.
And, yeah. So my question is, if we were showing $15,000 in buildings and grounds, why were we asking for an additional $6,700 to get the garage doors done if it was already in there?
Well, because we were looking at not only the garage doors, but a heating system.
Right.
So we bought $6,000 for doors and $9,000 for heating system, then that puts our funding at zero. So that's why.
Right.
Plus, it's always
Kelly's
double.
I don't know if that's the right one that I have.
Okay.
Kelly's just looking over a budget. Not sure if it's the latest.
I heard Kelly say that moving, it was important to have the correct garage doors in the winter because of an emergency getting a truck out in the snow for plowing, right? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay. Aren't we going to have snow in November and December?
Well, November is about, Thanksgiving is about when it starts. That's why I hope to get it done before Thanksgiving.
I'm a little confused. If we all identify that the project is a safety issue, it's required by the Department of Labor, and we're going to do the project one way or the other, I thought Kathy said it was. Wasn't it on our list, Kathy?
Well, part of the project was having those electric eyes across the bottom of the doors.
Okay, so part of it was on the project, not all of it. But if we're going to do, obviously it doesn't make sense to do part of it. And if we're going to be doing it in the fall anyway, why wouldn't we do the whole thing now, rectify the safety issue, and not have to worry about this in November when we do have a storm coming next week and we can't get the guy out for 2 weeks because he's busy on vacation or whatever?
Yeah, and even if the grader is in there and the door fails, I mean, it's still, you know, not a very, you know, good situation if we can't get any of the people out of the garage.
Different garage, Kathy.
No, but, well, they've had the grader in the DPW one.
Yeah. But the thing is, in regards to the safety, so the thing that we were told last when Kelly brought this up was that the chain on one of the doors broke, and that was the problem. And I don't think we'd have that problem with the other two doors on that building. Have you seen the chains on those other doors? What condition they're in? Kathy or Adam?
Oh, I think that a second door had the same problem, didn't it?
Well, actually, there's only one door that has chains. I had garage doors fail on me when one of those cables that is attached to the spring lets go. It lets one side of the door drop, and the other side gets locked in the track, and the door doesn't move. It doesn't come crashing down on anybody. It's not necessarily a safety issue. It's just an inconvenience because the tracks on those doors have been damaged as the trucks are backing in or out. The mirrors have unfortunately hit those tracks, and that's what causes the misalignment. But I'd rather wait till the end of the year, since there may be other things that pop up, and if we spend all this money now, we're going to be in the same situation like last year, where the budget just got away from us.
Great. Well, we have 71 minutes left of a minute. We got to have a vote. We have 71 minutes to get this done.
Okay. I say wait till the end of the year.
Then we'll wait another month and see what happens.
Okay. All right. Great. Kelly, what else you got?
I've been done.
Okay. Kelly says he's done. All right. The approval of minutes, I don't think.
I don't have.
Okay, that's fine. There was a letter sent by Tamer Roberts, and it was the final draft of the 2019 audit. Did everybody get a chance to read that?
I did look through it, and I read your comments, and I still don't know what the actual final number looks like for whether we overspent our approved budget or not for 2019. I don't actually see where in the 37 pages we see that.
Yeah. She also is responsible for giving us the MS-535. And Donna, I'll ask you, has she sent that in yet?
No.
Okay.
Not to me.
Okay. Yeah, we come to
that
the state.
And that gives us the final number, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We'll wait for Tama's final report. But in her statement that she sent to us, it looked like we not only overspent the operating budget, but we also overspent the water budget as well by a small amount.
Yeah. And that may have been a posting error, too. So we can certainly go back and look at that.
Okay, the water bills, I want to give compliments to Donna. She was able to get all the water bills out, and that was a huge task. As anybody knows and Dinah Reese knows, stuffing those envelopes is not worth having a party for.
My sister assisted me on Saturday the whole day.
And thanks to Terry as well. We had the question about the Granite State analytical invoice last week from over $2,000. Donna has verified that. We do pay that once a year. So that is a check that can be signed today. Adam, I want to go into your question about money funding for ledge probes. Can you talk a little bit about that? Adam?
Sorry, what's that? What's your question?
You wanted some financing for ledge probes. Can you expound upon that?
Oh, yeah. So when I did already a month ago, when I met, or 6 weeks ago, when I met with Rick Skaranka and Ian and Chris, and who was the other woman there, Aaron, one of Rick's concerns was that we didn't have ledge probes done, and we had no idea how much ledge was in some of the places in which we need to put new pipeline in. And
yep.
Rick said, if we do the ledge probes, we're going to get a much better quote from the contractors, whenever and whoever that is. So we're going to get a more competitive price. If we don't do these ledge probes, it's going to end up costing the district far more money in the long term. Because the contractors are simply going to say, well, I don't know what's under the ground, so I got to give you a high-end price to cover my butt.
Okay. Now, do you have I think the value you put on that was about, what, $2,000?
It's $2,000 a day. So,
a day.
So I asked Chris to give us a price. He doesn't have one yet. I think it's really hard to get prices on stuff because everybody's working from home. You can't just pick up the phone and call. But I suggest that we take $5,000 from one of the capital reserve funds in the water to do it. And I don't know if it's reimbursable. It might be. I'm not sure. In terms of the 24%, but either way, I think we simply need to take Rick's advice and do this.
Okay. How many days do we think we're talking about?
I think he said like 2 days. So my recommendation would be, without knowing the number, I think we should allocate $5,000. I can tell him we've allocated $5,000 and then see if they come in with a different price. It's going to be SW Cole, most likely, who does it. They're the ones who came up here and did some of the initial work up on Rhinoc. You know, we could wait a week and see if Chris gets us a more concrete number. But this is something that absolutely should be done. It's going to pay back, I don't know, possibly tenfold. I mean, it's one of those things. You start doing thousands of feet, like the bid could be way, way off.
Okay. All right. We'll then wait a week. But go ahead, Adam.
I do think this should be done sooner than later, though, because even with the tank bids coming in on Wednesday, you know, like the sooner we get this thing in the works, the better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not related to any of the other work, so it can be done independently of anything that goes on with Monarch.
Right, right. I'll go along with that. Go ahead, Adam.
Theoretically, hold on, sorry, the kids. Yes, she can have another piece. Sorry. So theoretically, yeah, it could wait, but you could also look at it and say it really shouldn't be independent, because part of the add alt on the project
is such that people are going to be bidding out on the extension of water lines. So we might want to consider allocating $5,000 now and then saying potentially more later, why don't you get us an actual more concrete price? So I'm just throwing that out there. You guys have
okay.
the conversation, but it might make sense to do it like that.
Yeah, what I'd like to do, I agree with going ahead with the probes. We need to do that. The thing I'd like to see is let's wait for that more concrete number. The other question I would like to have answered to is can we get this amount reimbursed? And then the third question would be, do we have to allocate the money prior to getting the ban or the bridge loan or the bond coming out of a capital reserve? And if it does come out of capital reserve, once we get the bond or loan, are we able to replenish that capital reserve with that money?
Well, why don't we get a list of go ahead, Kathy.
I was just gonna say if it's through the grant, we'd get 24% of it back.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. It wouldn't be the entire amount back. So if we spent $5,000 out of our capital reserve fund, we'd get $1,000 of it back.
Right.
Through the grant.
Be, yeah, $1,200.
More than that, yeah.
Well, so why don't we never heard back from Rick on the last request we had, right?
Right.
So
that was the
water
line to the building. Yep.
Yeah, rather than pestering him, because I think that's a bad idea. We should not be hounding him. Why don't we just we have to do this project anyway. Why don't we just find out the exact quote, talk about it next week, see if Rick responds. But we need to move forward without hounding him. We're going to get the money either way, and that was actually part of my report. We got the governor's signature yesterday or 2 days ago for the $295,000. So there is no 0.001% chance we wouldn't. It's now completely official.
Okay. So we'll wait till next week when we get hard numbers. Okay? Can you add that, Donna, for next week's agenda?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Jay, so to limit the conversation next week, so would you want to take that from the Water System Capital Reserve Fund? You really wouldn't fall under water tank, and it wouldn't fall under pipeline repair. It would really be under water system.
Right, but would this not also be covered by the grant?
We're not going to cover that for the grant. There's no reason. Wait, you're talking about the grant or the bond?
Well, the grant.
The grant's going to pay us back or not pay us back. Either way, we got to do it.
Right, right.
Yeah. Right.
So let's not worry about whether or not we're getting the 24% back right now. Let's just decide if we're doing it, and let's compile all our...
Stay out of it.
Yeah, but that $85,000 that was supposed to come from a capital reserve fund, do we know which fund that was going to be?
The $85,000 was a combination of two funds, two water
right.
funds, and it wasn't the water tank one. So we have the money to do it. We can only submit once a month. So let's not worry about that right now, and let's simply decide whether or not we want to do this project and how much it's going to cost.
Okay. All right. We'll
all
hold
right.
off till next week. Now, the other, based on now that we're starting to spend money, Dinah's here, and I want to ask her about that checking account. You have signature cards for us to – not yet?
I will next week.
Okay. Dinah will have signature cards for us next week.
I will also have, hopefully, the signed documents for our tax anticipation note.
Dinah's going to be pulling a TAN note.
So the application.
Don't we have to talk about how much money we're going to do that for, like we did last year? I think last year we saved like $350 by making it an amount that would only require us to do it once instead of twice, and
right.
each one
yeah,
that was normally like a permit,
never
right? That
heard
was more
of
the money.
Never heard of it. We did it for $220 last year.
$220,000.
Yeah, and I'm saying I think we had the conversation last spring that depending on the number we did, it would allow us to only have to put in the paperwork once. I don't remember the details of it. Kathy, do you remember?
Paperwork, Adam, it's a line of credit. Once it's there, we can access it as much as we want.
Right, but I thought that there was a maximum, and instead of, if we exhausted the $100,000, we would have had to reapply for it a second time,
right,
and would have had to pay another $350 application fee.
That's why we did it for $220,000.
Right,
if you
right. Okay, yeah. And so I'm saying we got to make sure when it comes to the amount this year that we do it again that allows us to not spend $350 twice. That was money we saved last year by being smart.
So what's the amount? I'll do it for $220 again if that's what you think we should do.
How close were we last year to not having that be enough?
We barely touched the tan. We touched the tan in December for about $50,000, and we only had that out for 2 weeks.
And we didn't touch it at all in the spring, right? We didn't touch it in the spring? And
no,
we didn't touch
it
at all in the spring. Right, but there's no, but it's not done on a sliding scale. So the amount of money we take this for, it doesn't cost us more to take out $200,000 or not to take out, to take out access to $200,000 than it does 50, correct?
Correct.
So if it doesn't cost us any more to take out a larger amount of money, we ought to go with the largest amount of money. God forbid there's a catastrophe.
Yeah,
I agree. 220. What do you think, guys? Good or bad?
We'll do the same number as last year. That's
that
good.
That was last year's amount.
Yep. Okay. So I'll make that motion for $220,000 tan note. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kathy. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. 220 it is. Unfortunately, we can't go anywhere traveling to the Bahamas or anything like that. All right. So on the same note, pun intended, Mike Smith had asked that the $50 late fee for water be waived due to the economic situation that we are currently in. That then would prompt us to get this TAN note sooner than later because we may not be getting those water bill revenues in as in abundance we had in past years. So I want to talk about the $50 late fee being waived. Last week, some of you who read the Conway Daily Sun may have seen where Conway was actually, the selectmen were considering waiving interest on late payments of property taxes. So I guess this is being done throughout other communities as well. I don't mind waiving the $50 late fee. But I don't think we can go much beyond that.
Jay, I think I don't think that we should today make a motion to waive the fee. I think that people that can pay their bills and, you know, people that are – anyway, so a lot of people can pay their bills. Let them pay the bills when May 1st comes, and I think you suggested it, that if there are still outstanding bills and we do decide to – mail a $50 invoice for the late fee that we can then determine whether we want to let those folks know that it's been waived. But I think to make a motion now to waive it and make that public information might not be the wisest thing to do.
All right.
I agree with Kathy.
So we'll wait till May 1st to see what our response to the water bills are.
Yep.
Okay.
I
good point,
that.
Kathy. Thank
you.
All right.
Okay.
We also have... was sent to us, actually now two memos, from David Maudsley in regards to our
So, Jay, so since we were talking about backing up to doing the ledge probes and some of the Reinhardt tank, can we jump to the bridge loan paperwork for the municipal bank?
Yeah, I was going to put it at the end of administration here, but...
Let's do it now. I gotta go.
Okay, so let's jump to the BAN and the bond.
Yeah.
It's the BAN and the bond, right?
It's the combination. It's the bridge loan for the bond.
Right. It's the bridge loan and then the bond agreement after the bridge loan has expired. Right.
Correct.
Now,
I make a motion for resolution to authorize $869,400 bond bank loan agreement. Issuance of bonds and notes and related documentation to finance a water tank replacement project.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Can you forward me that motion?
Well, actually, it's right here.
That was the language from the bank, from the lawyer.
Yeah, just cut and paste it right off the lawyer's document.
Yeah, it's actually part of the lawyer's document.
Did you take those papers? Wait a minute.
No.
One moment, please.
One moment, please. Donna's looking for that agreement. While she's looking for the agreement, for discussion purposes, so we're asking for the $869,400. And my question is, we don't even have the bids in yet to know if that's even the right amount.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's on page one.
It's right on the very top of the document. It's really front and center.
Yep, we got it, Adam.
Yeah, it says motion. So you're gonna copy this as is, right into the minutes.
Yep.
And we're in the discussion phase, and all this is part of the discussion.
Okay.
So question I have, this $869,400, there's also the $388,800. Is that in addition to the $869,400?
No.
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 No. This is nothing to do with the grant. This is borrowing the 869, and the logic is that we don't need the whole 869 now, but if we could get the 388, that'll get us through the initial phases of construction, which should not go beyond August 15th. We can then roll this 388 into the 869 and then get our permanent financing.
Let me simplify it for you. Let me simplify it, okay? They're not giving us $388,000 without knowing that we're going to be taking $869,000 in August.
Okay.
That's what this is. So we have to vote yes on this, or there will be no water tank.
Okay, so another question. So it looks like we have a 1.3% interest rate on this first portion of $388,800 borrowing. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay,
that's a great rate, by the way. And my question is, will that same rate be...
We don't know.
We don't know.
But this is, what we're agreeing to is the bridge loan from April 15th to August 15th.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be getting an interest rate of 1.3% over 15 years. They're giving us this because it's 3 months. It's like, hey, throw us an extra $1,000 that we're going to make for nothing. I mean, that's all this really is. You every time you get a longer loan, the interest rate goes up. So, no, you're not getting the same interest rate on 15 years that you're getting on 3 months.
Okay. And so in regards to how this loan is expended, $388,800, do we start paying interest on that full amount on
Jay, with all due respect, we're worried about pennies. The whole interest on the whole thing is $1,200. Like, we're not going to change anything. We're not going to renegotiate anything. We can't go back to the lawyer. We can't go back to the bank. We got no other bids. Like, we need to stop wasting time and just take it. There is no other option. So we can ask all the questions we want. It's not going to change anything.
Well, we've been working through this now for 10 months.
Right, but
we have no option. There is no option, Jay. There is no, well, let's renegotiate. Let's talk to the bank. Let's find somebody else. Like, we need to have this money in the next couple of weeks, and there is no other option. So can we just move forward?
Well, wait a minute. I feel like I'm being threatened. Some people felt that way at the annual meeting, too. So I need to understand. I'm about to spend taxpayer money, and to do so without knowing what I've done makes me look bad, and I don't want that to happen. Makes any one of us look bad if we don't know. And my question basically is, are we going to be spending all $388,800 in this first 3 months without not even having a bid yet? We don't even have a contractor chosen.
We don't know. It's impossible to know. I mean, I can't tell you when. There's no way to know that. The total cost of this thing, it's $1,200 of interest. What are we doing?
It's 4 months. Yeah, it's so, actually 4 months. It's April. It's May, June, July, and August. So it's actually 4 months, not three.
Oh, okay. And so my question is, can we wait until we have the bid opening next week?
No, we can't.
Where does it say that we can't?
Because if we don't get this thing done now, we're not going to be able to have the money in our hand for some period of time after that. Like, we need to accept the money, make the deposit. Like, they're going to have to get some paperwork. It's not like we're going to sign the document next Thursday and the money's going to be in our account Friday. There's going to be some sort of lag time. There's paperwork involved. There's multiple people who are working from home, which can slow it down. Like, I don't understand.
Right, but we're not going to get an invoice on the first day after the bid either. As a matter of fact, if you look at the DES regulations with regards to that 30-day wait period before any construction can start after the environmental review, we've got a good month before we can actually put a shovel in the ground. More than a month.
Can we vote on this, please?
Okay, do you want to move the question to a vote?
I do.
Okay, because I'm completely... I just asked questions, and I'm not getting answers to, and I really feel that we should wait so that we are informed, so that the taxpayers feel comfortable that we know what we're doing. This is a lot of money. But if you want to move the question, go ahead and make that motion.
But, Jay, it would cost more in lawyer fees to have them redo this document than we would save by holding it off for 2 or 3 weeks. It really would.
I don't think Jay's concerned about lawyer fees. He's concerned about maybe getting the money for a month and not spending it.
Right.
And right, we're talking about...
You know, Adam, you're rushing this through. You talked for half an hour about Loom. You know, and now, you know, you won't allow discussion on this.
No, come on. Let's be real. Like, if we're talking about an extra month, we're talking about $300 on this thing. Right,
yeah,
we're talking about $300. We're talking about because we don't know that it's not going to be needed. Then these people need to get the paperwork moving. Like, we've got a $1.2 million project, and we're spending time talking about $300 potentially, not even $300, $300 potentially.
I'm not looking to save the money. I mean, it'd be nice if we save money.
Do I have to sign these documents as treasurer?
No. Two commissioners need to sign it. There's going to be a different document that comes today in the mail, and you'll need to sign that one that comes in the mail today.
What document is that?
Yeah, what was the difference in that document? I thought it was just a hard copy of last night's
it's
document.
It's not a hard copy of today's document. It's a different document. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I didn't draft them. I don't work for the bank. I can't answer every question.
We'll do it. I'm out of here.
It says it. It says that it's coming in the mail. He sent the email last night that was you guys all have saying that Dinah's got to sign the document that comes in the mail today. She doesn't sign this one here.
Dinah just left, but I think what she was asking is what document are you telling her she needs to sign? And I don't think we can tell her that. That's
the one that comes in the mail. The one that comes in the mail today.
But what's in that document? I guess is it ratification of what we're signing today here as commissioners?
I don't know. I followed the advice of the attorney.
Okay. Can we
Jay?
Yeah.
What this document is that the commissioners are approving the bridge loan, and Donna signs it as the clerk. Just to validate that the commissioners are going forward with the bridge loan. What Greg's email said is her signatures will be required on the document. So those are going to be the loan documents, not the resolution. This is just the agreement between the commissioners that we are going to move forward with this bridge loan. It's not the actual loan documents. Those are the ones that should be arriving today by FedEx.
Right. But I'd just like to have some of my questions answered before I go ahead and sign this.
What's it going to change?
Why would you not agree to the bridge loan? You're going to need the money
I understand that because bonds are only available at certain times of the year. I understand we need a bridge loan.
Okay.
I think that this rate is very good. I just have some questions as to rushing into this and the questions that I just asked, nobody seems to have an answer to. I just like to get those answers so that I feel like I've done my diligence.
Okay, the lawyer said to do it. The lawyer said, hey, this is what you guys need to do. This is the next step. So rather than question him on it, I said, okay, this is the next step onto what we're going to do for the loan. And this makes our TAN note, our band note possible so that we can move forward on this tank. I mean, there comes a point where we take the advice of legal counsel.
Right, and that was another question I actually have, is have we had our legal counsel look at this? Chris Bolt.
No, we haven't had our legal counsel look at this. These guys do this for a living. You think they're trying to pull a fast one on us?
No, like, no, it's just... But
Jay, all this is we're agreeing to take a bridge loan. That's all this is. This isn't even the documents for the bridge loan. That's all we're agreeing, and we've been talking about this now for 6 months, that this is what we were going to do, and this is the path that we were going to go in order to get this project completed and not keep kicking everything down till we're going to be in an emergency meeting situation.
Right, but after reading this document from last night, there are questions that I have, and this is the first time I've seen this document.
I'll make a motion to vote.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Further discussion? I just don't feel I am informed enough to sign this at this time. But this
wasn't just from last night. This document came out a couple of days ago.
Okay. But I can't discuss it with you until we have an actual open meeting. So if you guys are ready to vote, go ahead. I vote no. I'm going to
I vote yes.
Motion.
Yes.
And I'll vote yes.
I voted yes.
All right.
Okay, so
now we're voting on the actual resolution that I read. I'll make a motion to – well, we already made the motion to sign it, so I'll vote yes on that.
Okay, wait a minute. That's the signing of it?
What
correct.
You just made?
Now the motion is – now we go back to the original motion, which is to sign the document.
They're not one of the same thing? I think that they're one and the same, aren't they?
No, the motion we just made a second ago was to move forward with ending this discussion and having the vote. Now we're actually voting on the signing of the document.
I vote yes to sign the document. Kathy, is there a second on that motion?
No, I already.
I think they seconded already, but.
Okay.
We already voted 2-1 to sign the motion to have the discussion to sign it. So
okay.
Now the motion is to sign the actual document. I'm voting yes.
I'll vote yes on that also.
And I'm going to abstain for a lack of information, if you could put my comment in there. Okay. We got that out of the way.
We need to get Diana to go back there when these documents come in today to sign them. And if she doesn't come today, we got to get her to sign it tomorrow. And we got to get these things back out immediately to these people.
Okay. Donna, I think, heard your comments, so she can give Diana a call. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Where is this paper coming from Diana?
I think it's coming through FedEx, didn't it?
Oh, that's great, Adam, because of my hours here. I'm sorry, Adam, but I know this is important, but you're not taking the office into account. I don't work on Fridays anyway. And second of all, I am up to my eyeballs, and no help is being done. Nothing is getting done efficiently in this office because everything is being... Not me, not even a care in the world, and not for anything, but this office was supposed to be closed because there was no water. I spent my whole day Saturday stuffing the water bills. I come back in, and I didn't even touch the emails because of everything else that had to be done. I had to do the payroll, and I still haven't done the retirement. And I don't know how it's going to be resolved, but the three of you have to work together
as a board and figure this out.
Thank you, Donna.
I understand completely.
So, when that FedEx package comes, I don't think it's going to have to be signed for, or will it? Does Adam know?
Is it what?
It didn't say in Google's email if it has to be signed for or not.
We have to sign for this.
Do we have to sign for the FedEx?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I can put a quick email into Greg. Let me put a quick email into Greg and ask him.
Anything that comes to this office, whether it's FedEx, there's always something. Either someone comes or something's left at the door for a signature.
Okay.
Wait, say that again. I'm sorry.
See if there's a note on the door tomorrow or late today. Usually there's a phone number you can call and make arrangements. So I'll make sure that I will be at the door to see if there's a notice or if the FedEx package is in the mailbox, and then I can call Dinah and see if she can swing down there either late today or Friday if that package comes. I'll take care of that, Donna, so that's something you don't even have to be worried about.
Do we know when FedEx generally comes?
And even if it doesn't come on Friday, and I know the office is closed Monday, I'll double-check on Monday as well.
Well,
they come usually twice a day. They make their rounds, but
usually it's after 3 o'clock.
Yeah. Usually it's after 3. So, yeah, so there's no way we're going to expect Donna to stay for that. That's not right.
Donna's already over her hours for the week, even right now.
Okay, so Kathy, you're going to pick up the document. You're going to pick this up?
I will make sure that I keep checking the office to see if there's a document or if there's a note there to call them to arrange for delivery.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right. Can I just go back to Donna's comment? Donna needs help and has been asking for help with training in particular. Donna's work ethic is fantastic.
Should this be in non-public?
So I'm just saying that, you know, because it's been obvious. But my suggestion is this. We got the email from Kristen wanting to stay safe for an extended period of time further, which we don't have an end date to. And Donna has been asking for training for specific things like QuickBooks and municipal.
This should be done in non-public, Jay.
No.
This isn't public.
No. I don't see why.
Then let's get clarification from NHMA and find out if it should. But I'm not going to participate in a conversation that I'm not 100% sure should be done in a public session.
It's only if it's negative or if it's a reputation
right.
to the employees.
If you want to waive that, then I don't have a problem.
I'll waive it.
Okay.
Because I need it taken care of.
So.
Okay.
I've reached out to someone who lives here in Madison and has an accounting firm that she runs and is very familiar with QuickBooks and is extremely familiar with municipal financing. I would think that it would be beneficial to have that individual work with Donna on two fronts, one being training and also getting work done. The most important thing I think that we are lacking right now is that we don't know what our burn rate is. We do not know how much money we spent since basically the beginning of the year and what's left in our budgets. And this was our problem at the end of last year where we got caught, likely overexpended both budgets. So what I'm suggesting is, I don't want to mention this individual's name, but I just want to mention the idea. The person has worked 20 years in Madison under our financial department, if you want to call it that. And the individual is well versed.
This sure sounds like non-public. You're talking about possibly hiring an employee, or you're intimating hiring an employee. This is in non-public.
No, no, I'm talking about the idea of hiring someone to help Donna, which she just expressed a sincere concern for. And I think that we should do so. The skill sets, I think, that I just described are what might be necessary. The hours we can talk about later on, but I can tell you, I want to get Donna the help that she's asking for.
Okay, well, are you asking for us to make a decision right now? Because Kathy and I know nothing about this, or at least I know nothing about this. This is the first time I'm hearing anything about it, and you're asking us to make a commitment. Like, what are you asking for?
I'm asking for your commitment to the idea of finding Donna help.
I will have a conversation at some point if someone gets information in front of me, or we can talk about it to the point of what do you want to do to proceed to get Donna help. But you're talking about a specific person, which greatly concerns me.
Mm-hmm. No different than when we were hiring for these administrative positions before. You had mentioned you had a friend that was interested.
Right, and then that was where the conversation ended, and we said,
yep,
have them put in an application. Have them send in,
yep,
whatever they want to send in. So
yep,
if someone wants to put a letter into the office saying, hey, you know, X, Y, and Z, but we'd long been having we knew we needed to replace an outgoing administrator. Like, it's very different. Like, this is the first I'm hearing anything about, like, this is the first I'm hearing about
it. I agree that Donna does need help. We know that that's a very, a lot of,
yeah, absolutely.
Now, I'm certainly willing to go in and help, but I was deferring to Donna that she really felt uncomfortable with other people in there because of this COVID-19. So COVID-19 is going to be run for another probably 4 to 6 weeks anyway. So it's kind of a conflict between the two.
I would think we'd be better off bringing Ron. Why wouldn't we bring Rhonda in? And even if it costs us a little bit more money, we could bring her in right away, and she could do it like that. She's already someone we have an affiliation with, and if we need accounting work and QuickBooks training, like, well, I don't understand why we wouldn't just bring someone in like that.
Yeah. So here's the key point. Here's the key point. So the COVID-19 is understandable, and I would not expect anyone to be training Donna here in this office physically. This person will do it remotely. They'll share the screen. The other thing is the municipal background, knowing exactly where, and this has, I think, been our problem, of where we place the invoices for some of these accounts. I know Kathy, and I, Kathy, I thank you for all that you've been doing with regards to the finances, but that is really not the role of a commissioner. We should not be, neither one of us, any three of us, should be in QuickBooks. It should be a separate duty, and so that the commissioners may never be accused of cooking the books. So,
and just for your clarification, I did get a profit and loss statement through the end,
yep,
of March, and I have updated the budget. I do have a partial list from Tamer of charges that need to go back to 19 that were paid in 2000. So it's not that we're ignoring it. It's probably 80% complete, so that hopefully by next week's meeting, prior to the meeting, we'll have a pretty good level of understanding where we are with our budget. So it's not that it's spending more.
Right, and I wanted to talk about that briefly, too, while Kelly's still here. There were charges to the budget this year, and I'm trying to find them. It was under highway, and it was a trucks. And it looked like there was a $5,500 charge against the Ford 550 beginning January 1st. Are those bills actually back to 2019?
So I got a list. I have a list in Tamer that there was one bill for $4,712. And I believe, I don't have any detail, but I believe that's the invoice for the transmission on the Ford 550 that we paid in January. So that's one,
yeah,
of the ones that's itemized to go back to 19 and maybe in 2020.
Yep. Okay.
But all she gave me was, you know, Albany Service Center without knowing how that was originally posted or what the detail was. Without being,
right,
able to get to the office, there's no way for me to know that.
Okay. So these expenses that were seen, these invoices that were seen in 2020, will they be sent to Tamer so that she can adjust the 2019 final budget?
No, she sent them to me. She's the one who made that determination, not us.
Oh, okay.
Can I just it brought to my attention today because of the question in the bills. I got a bill the 31st from Crest Auto for the $550, and I thought it was for the 323s. It looked like it was the date that the service was done. Then looking further into it, this goes back to December 26th. This should go towards last year's bill also, and that's for $475.77.
Okay.
But I'm just getting the bill this week.
Wow.
I don't know if we can go back now. It's what, $475?
Yep. I just noticed that.
What was that? What vehicle was that for?
The 5500.
The Dodge, the new Dodge.
Was that the wiring thing with the in the?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the wiring.
I thought we paid that back in December.
Yeah, I thought so too. But Donna can look it up later. But that's the point. Is that the skill set that I'm looking for to help Donna would be someone not only with QuickBooks background, which this person has, but also municipal background to know when items should come from budgets and when items need to come from warrant articles.
Yeah.
I want to circle back to that issue.
Why don't you have that person send a resume into the office and let us all have a look at it?
All right. I will do that.
I think we should also, at the same time, why don't we ask Rhonda, outline exactly what we're hoping for and see if Rhonda can do it too, so that we have two options.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, not for anything, but Rhonda's very expensive. I mean, whatever.
And Rhonda knows QuickBooks. When we have a problem with QuickBooks, she can answer it in 5 minutes. But to have her spend her time, she's got a lot of YouTube videos that she's done. We can take advantage of those. But to hire her to do routine bookkeeping, I mean, I think Donna's got a strong handle on QuickBooks, but it's the municipal side on, okay, we got this bill, what do we do with it? It's not how do you key it in, how do you print checks, how do you run reports, it's how do you allocate the money. And that's really more the challenge, I think, than the mechanics of how to use QuickBooks.
All right.
I don't know if I'm repeating that, Donna. I don't know if that's correct or not.
Yeah, so I
think
have
also
a couple
Rhonda's also a one-word. Rhonda's not a one-person operation either. I think we might be able to get somebody from her office who would bill out at a far lower rate. I don't know.
We should
ask.
I'll ask.
Okay. Anyway, all right. If one person can send a resume in, Jay, that at least will give us something to evaluate.
Okay. And did everybody take a look at David Maudsley's financial summary as well as the recent one that he sent out regarding? It was a memo he sent, I think, April 4th.
Yes, I did. And a lot of David's concerns will get addressed with this adjustment from Tamer to bills that were in January that go back to 2019.
Okay.
And I noticed one or two things that I noticed doing this last night that we need to go in and reevaluate. So I appreciate his oversight, but there's nothing there that's alarming to me.
Okay. All right. And just to move on quickly, because we're running out of time, the need for weekend or weeknight meetings, Adam had brought that up. I wanted to put it on the list here. I went back and took a look at the most recent Saturday meetings as well as the weeknight meetings. And I think the last three, we had no attendees other than the commissioners themselves. And now that we have COVID-19 and no one can physically attend our meeting, and that anybody is requested or desired to actually call in, I personally don't see an actual need to go back to weekends or weeknights. And I know that
I'm not doing them.
Donna will not be able to take the minutes for us. She's She's got more than her, more than enough to do. So can we suspend that for now, at least until COVID-19 passes?
Yes.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to bring to everybody's attention was the skater alarms. We saw a bunch of them the other day. I don't know what the reason was for. I did run up to Reinhardt to see if it was overflowing, and it was not. So that's all I have on that. So I want to move on to
There must have been a blip because it was every single station came back with some sort of an alarm. So it must have been a system-wide glitch, and then it all happened within, what, 15 minutes, and then they all went away.
Yeah, okay. So getting back to that, just that real quick. So hopefully Ian will have in his monthly report maybe an explanation of what happened there. I want to go to accounts payable, and we have a manifest for 13 checks. I think, is it 13?
Yep.
Okay. For $10,187.34.
Should I hold that Crest payment until I look further into that also?
The Crest,
that sounds really familiar for some reason.
Okay.
I remember it being about the wiring on the truck harness.
Okay.
Can we just send them an email and say, hey, did this already get paid? Are you sure this is an open invoice?
Well we have all the bills pulled for the truck anyway, don't we, Kathy?
Yep.
Okay. So they're in that pile, right?
Okay, so we're going to hold the Crest invoice?
Yeah.
Okay,
just
thank you.
Just send that one out, yeah. So I think we paid it.
All right. I think you're right. So we're going to hold the Crest invoice from this manifest.
Okay.
Figure that out.
These bills? Or
yeah, I'm going to, just to make it go fast, I'm going to make a motion that we sign this out of session just to keep the meeting going.
Well, everything's going to be signed out of session, right? Even the...
Well, yeah.
Even,
but I don't want to take my time
session.
Now to sign. Okay.
Right, but
all
everything's
right.
signed out of session. It's understood.
Right.
The stuff with the ban we did before is going to be signed out of session, too. Like, that's understood.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So make a motion going forward to we can sign everything out of session.
Yes, I'll make that motion forward, because of COVID-19, that all signature items will be out of session because of the restrictions at the office. Second it?
Starting in the beginning of today's meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'll second it.
Okay, discussion?
None.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, signature items. We have the acknowledgement letter and request from a review form.
Are you approving the manifest? Did you make a motion to approve the manifest?
I'm sorry, I thought I did. But we did the approval for the manifest, but the amount, or we're going to hold that Crest invoice until we find out.
So it's the amount of the manifest less the $475.
Right. And do I have a second for that?
Well, did you read did you read what they were?
Let me go read them all. Okay, very, very quickly, we have Alvin J. Coleman, $1,214.16. We have a Coleman rental for $167.80. We have Crest Auto World. There it is, $475.77. That's the one we're going to withhold. Donahue Tucker, we have a, let's see what the total is. $1,602. We have a bill from Easton Propane and Oil.
That from the annual meeting, Jay? Was Donahue Tucker from the annual meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
We have Easton Propane and Oil for $269.72. Easton Propane and Oil, again, for $182.93. I'm not sure which one was oil.
The first one's the heating oil. The second one's diesel.
Diesel, okay. We have a bill from Eversource, March bills. This is the total accumulation of Eversource bills, $2,787.68. We have a bill from Garside Construction for $210. A bill from Granite State Analytical, we talked about this last week, $2,566. Napa Auto Parts, $25.42. Roberts and Green, they are our auditors, and that is the $600. Verizon Wireless, $67.34, and Windy Ridge for $20.50. Do I have an approval of the manifest?
Less the $475.77 comes to $9,711.57.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, bring down the signature items. We have the acknowledgement letter and request for review form. I believe we just talked about that, right?
No.
We have the ACH option for State of New Hampshire Treasury.
No, that's from an old one.
Oh, I thought so, yeah.
And then payroll. We need payroll.
Yes, I'm sorry. Oh, forget that. I'm sorry, payroll. Let me read these numbers off to you.
Can I help you?
Yes. I'll let you count the cards. Okay, Kelly Robitel, we have week one, 40 hours with 52 hours total. 12 hours were overtime. And week two, 40 hours. Jeff DiMartino, week one, 48 hours and a half. So 8.5 hours of overtime. And week number two, 40 hours. Tony Eldridge, 16 hours for week one and 8 hours on week number two. Donna McKinnon, we have 28.25 hours. And on week number two, we have 20.75 hours.
Plus the annual clerks meeting, because I didn't get that last time.
Oh, okay. And Kristen Johnson, we have 4.5 hours. Okay. Do I have a motion to accept payroll?
I'll second it.
Okay. Discussion?
What's the total amount?
$6,207.02.
Okay. All right.
Just as far as discussion purposes, what I'd like to, in keeping, and I think Kelly's already doing this, but thinking about keeping Tony and having him come in only as necessary, because if any one of our two guys gets sick, then Tony becomes the second full-time guy. So we want to keep him safe and clean and away from the district unless it's absolutely necessary that he comes in. So that was my thought.
Tony,
I think Kelly has shared.
Is Tony okay with that?
Tony is fine with that, yep. Okay. And hopefully this thing blows over and we can go back to normal. Okay, signature items. Okay, we did the Newburyport ban and the manifest that we just went through. Okay, commissioner's report. Adam, you want to go first?
So Wednesday will be the bid opening. It got pushed back a week. And then Thursday we'll have our commissioners meeting to discuss it. Friday we will have the phone conference with Ian and Chris. I'll send out an email to Ian and Chris to make sure that they're available at 3:00 next Friday. They probably know it, but I'll just make sure. We do expect to get multiple bids on the tank.
You mean on the phase two?
On the second part of the tank project, yeah. So obviously we already have the bid on the first part.
Right.
We expect to get multiple bids on the second part. We'll see where they come in at, and we should be good to go. So we will potentially pick which ones we want to do, which parts of the project on that Friday, and we'll just make them contingent upon DES approval, which will probably happen either that day or maybe even the day before. I mean, Rick's going to have the bids Wednesday as well, I believe, Wednesday night. So he'll probably either give us that letter like he did the other day, or either that Thursday or that Friday. If he gives it to us before the meeting, we can sign it without a contingency. If we can't We would have to do it with the DES contingency and also the environmental review contingency. So as long as nothing comes up, not the environmental review, the public hearing part of that. But we should be all set. Impact. What's that?
The environmental impact, public notice?
Yeah, the public notice part, yeah. We should be ready to put a shovel in the ground on May 11th. That was the date we were talking about. That would give us the 30 days required. That would give DES time to give us whatever letter. That would give the 10-day period from the time in which we sign it to when those guys can start. I mean, a minimum of 10 days. But we should be looking at May 11th. It would be the 30-day, I think, ended the Thursday or the Friday before the 11th. And I figured those guys aren't going to come in Friday and then take the weekend off and start and come back Monday. I would imagine they would just probably start that Monday morning. So Monday the 11th is what we should be looking at.
Have we seen that ad that went into the Conway Sun? Oh, we have it.
Yeah, it was sent into the office a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I saw the email. I didn't see the actual newspaper itself. I didn't.
Oh, I thought it went with the email.
It was in there. Okay. It was. Right. It was in there.
Okay, so we have to wait now 30 days to have a public comment period. Is that right?
It's 30 days from the time in which it went into the newspaper.
Yep.
So that would end, I think it's like May 7th.
Yep.
So
but then DES needed another week maybe to...
No, that's a misunderstanding. DES has approved everything thus far. They're going to need to just sign off when the bids come in, which they'll be able to do, it according to Chris, in just a day or two.
Okay, so
when I was saying when they come in Wednesday night, Rick will give us an official letter Thursday or Friday.
Okay, so
I mean, I can't say it's Friday. Maybe it'll be the next week.
Yeah, when the bids get opened at Chris's office, is it going to be basically a phone conference to be able to hear those openings or what those numbers are? Or is he just going to summarize and send us an email?
I think he's just going to summarize and send an email. We didn't talk about setting up a conference call or anything. I don't think there's a reason to go through that formality. Let's just have him email it to us and say this is it, and we can all review it and. It'll be good.
Yes. Okay. The other question I had, and this came out of the Water Committee meeting the other day, was this Friday meeting with Ian and Chris. This is a public meeting, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so they would like to be part
of commissioners. It's a commissioner's meeting.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's a commissioner's meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they would like to be part of that, actually, and I'd like to make a motion that we invite Larry Sedano and Larry Leonard to that meeting. I'll make that motion.
Well, anybody's invited to the meeting. Well, I don't understand what the question is. Everyone can come to a meeting.
Yeah. I just want
to
make
a motion.
We don't need to make a motion to allow the public to come to a public meeting.
Right, but I want to make them aware of it, is what I'm saying.
So then just send them an email and say there's a commissioner's meeting.
Okay. All right, can I do that? Send them and just say, you know, there's a meeting coming up to talk about the bids, and
We post all the meetings.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we've been getting the website in a timely update. So that's a whole other thing
Jay,
that we want to talk about.
Jay, we haven't missed a deadline. We have not missed a deadline on a commissioner's meeting. So,
right.
So Adam, can I clarify with you? So we're going to have our regular Thursday meeting at 9 a.m. a week from today. Then Friday the 17th is going to be at 3 p.m.?
Right.
Okay, I just want to make sure because I do want to post that on the website.
Yeah,
make
we just
sure
delayed it 7 days. It was going to be tomorrow at 3. Now it'll be the Friday after that at 3.
Okay. All right.
So the 17th?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Adam, anything else for your commissioner's reports?
Not offhand that I remember, so I think we're good.
I forgot to put that on the agenda.
I
apologize.
Yeah, we got a driveway permit that came in. I just want to throw this in real quick. It's a 51 Burn Drive. This is actually was submitted, I believe, a while ago. But what they want to do, and Kelly had to take some time to get out there and inspect it because I think there was snow cover at one point, right?
Yeah.
They're actually asking to have their driveway repaved. So Kelly has gone out, done the inspection, looked at the drawing, what's going to be done as far as controlling water runoff. And so Kelly has signed off and says that this is a go. Any questions or comments by the other Board of Commissioners?
If Kelly's good with it, I'm good with it.
Okay. So this, again, is another signature item by the Board of Commissioners. So, again, signing out of session, this will also be in the pile of things to sign. So I'll make that. The motion is made to approve. And I'll second. All in favor? Aye?
Yes.
Okay. Who made the second?
I second it. Kathy made the motion.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
So now, can I back up for 1 second? Is there a process to go in and sign things in the office, Donna, or would you rather leave them in the mailbox? Do you want to put them at the corner of the table?
I'm sorry, Kathy, but I don't want you up here until your 14 days is over. I can put them in the mailbox, and, if I know you're coming, I don't want to leave things in the mailbox, like checks and stuff.
Well,
or I can run down and get it and put it in the mailbox if I know you're coming.
Donna, why don't Jay can sign everything and I can sign everything. I'll put my kids in the car. I'll come down there. I'll sign it, and we'll do it just like we did like a week ago.
Okay. Just make sure I'm here at the office.
Yeah. So even the document for that loan, like I'll come down literally as this meeting's ending, and I'll just sign the thing. So Jay can sign it now. Jay signs it now. It should be printed. No, I don't think you do, Kathy. All we need is two commissioners and Donna.
Right. Okay.
So Jay signs it, and I'll sign it, and I'll sign all the other stuff too, and just be done.
Okay. Let me know if I need to sign anything. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy.
All right, we have to sign the payroll. The manifest.
Yep.
Now we have one other document that I want to talk about, and that is the archaeologist report, which is complete. I have it in front of me from Monadnock Archaeological Consulting, LLC. So this is done. We see here, at least on page 2, is this actually an invoice?
That's what they sent in the mail to us.
Okay, so, and I'm not sure if we paid this or not.
No.
$1,230 for this report. If we have not paid it, then I'll make a motion that we pay this.
From where?
And how are we going to expense it? What line item?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Can we do it from the water tank capital reserve fund? It's solely a tank expense.
Right, but this is part of the warrant article, right? So if we take from a capital reserve fund today, or even the budget today to pay this, can we then take from the bond proceeds to reimburse that amount taken?
Well, we don't need to. We can just pay for it out of that and then use it, count it towards the $85,000 that we're getting reimbursed on. So then it becomes a moot point.
Oh, so you want to take it from the $85,000 figure? So that
Get our 24% back, $300, and add it to the list. That's what I would do. Take it from the water tank capital reserve fund.
Okay, so we're pretty sure that this is going to be given that discount, that 24%?
If it's not giving the discount, we still want to take it from the water tank capital reserve funds and save the bond money for what we're going to get the 24% discount on.
Okay.
I can't imagine it not. But, yeah, the motion should include taking it from the water tank CRF.
Okay, so that motion will be then taken from the CRF.
Okay, yep.
Water
tank, CRF, yep.
Okay, so $1,230. Do I have a second?
Second.
I'll second it.
Okay. I think Adam made the motion. Kathy seconded. All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay, motion passes. Thank you, guys. Okay. Kathy, I'm going to go to you for commissioner's reports.
Okay, well, I guess all I had to really was update on the financial statements and one of the things that we have to kind of figure out is Tamer put on her list all the checks paid on January 2nd for a total of $16,000 that are in the 2020 budget need to go back into the 2019. So I don't have an itemized list of what those are. So when Donna comes in next week, she can send me a copy of that manifest, and so I can make the adjustments with those amounts as well.
Okay, so that's like $16,000 is going back into the expenditures of 2019's budget?
It's actually a total of $30,000. So there's $30,000 of stuff that we paid in 2020 that are going to go back into 2019. And she's already, and Tamer's already accounted for those things in her report. Because she told us which ones have to go back to 2019. That make sense? Jay?
I'm here.
I wonder if our 2 hours is up. They signed up for the conference call in 2 hour block for 2 hours.
Okay.
My concern, it's over.
So, Kevin goes, as far as he's concerned, it's over.
All right, so let's hang up.
I guess, so we got done what we had to get done, right?
Well, they missed some tabled items. I'll email the office on that now, and I'll go down and sign right now.
Okay, yeah, because it says right. Tabled item, you know, and so they'll be on there for next week as well.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Sorry.
Is it Kathy?
No, it's us.
Oh.
Hello?
Hello.
Sorry, guys.
No, it's the system. That's why.
Donna and Jay?
Yeah. Oh, hi, Paula. Sorry.
Hold
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, they Kathy and Adam assumed about 5 minutes ago that you got cut off, so they thought that was the end of the meeting, so they hung up.
No,
the phone allows us to only have 2 hour meeting, and then we have to dial back in to get an extra 30 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know, but we all stayed on the line.
Yeah.
And I just kept mine connected because I'm out walking, and it was in my pocket. So anyway.
Bye. Hey, thank you,
bye,
Paula.
All right. Bye bye.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye.
I forgot about it until I heard you guys. Bye.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Bye.